Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Pitchcraft Season 2, where we unpack decks of some of India's most successful startups. And we're very excited to have Shri Harsha Majety, the co-founder and CEO of Swiggy. Now, today you know him as the CEO of one of India's leading food and grocery delivery platforms. But we are talking about the time when they were a tiny startup. They had just started up way back in 2014-2015. We will be deconstructing Swiggy's very first deck and how they put it together and raised their first round of funding. Harsha, is it all very surreal looking at this deck today?
Yeah, it brings back a lot of memories. Firstly, thanks for having me. It is. I was just going through this myself on the ride to this venue. I'm like, okay, I think we actually got a bunch of things on point. A lot hasn't changed. So yeah, I think there was a definite trip down memory lane as I went through this. It was fun.
Right. So, Harsha, in 2014, that was when you sort of put this deck together. What did you think about, putting inside? How long did it take for you to put together the pitch deck? Who worked on it the most? What aspects did you work on? What aspects did your co-founders work on?
So, I think Nandan or Andy, my co-founder, he worked on most of this. So, I'm going to try to get a peek into his mind as of then on how he thought about it. Of course, we did this together. I think it took us 2-3 days. As you can see, it was a very short presentation. We had like a few simple insights as the reasons why we were doing this business. And we just went ahead and put it together. It was a very basic deck, even visually, if you see, it wasn't like glowing. We didn't have any Gen AI tools at the time. So it was a very, very basic tool. It's almost all function and no form if you look at the presentation.
Right. Harsha, if I look at the deck, as you said, it's more function than form. Whatever is useful, whatever basic insights you wanted to put in. 12-15 pages, not more than that. So again, what was your frame of reference? Was it a deck made by some startup in the valley, a deck made by another Indian startup, which you thought was useful? And, who told you that, okay, this is how a deck should be made, this is why a deck is important before you go and meet investors?
Right. So I think we didn't have any frames of reference for our deck per se. So we didn't know that many examples. But from our friends who had raised some money, of course, like a few of our friends from Pilani. Had raised money by then. So they gave us, the basics of the deck structure, like, okay, what is the problem you're trying to solve? And okay, how are you trying to solve the problem? Why is the solution different from what exists in the market? So this basic structure, we got advice from our circles, friends, well-wishers, whoever we met. So that was the only content we had.
So what attracted you to food delivery then? I mean, Zomato existed then, but it was more of a, restaurant discovery platform.
That's right.
And then you had a bunch of other platforms like Deliver, Foodpanda, Tiny Owl. I think there's a slide that talks about it as well. So very interesting. There's a slide on competitive landscape with Just Eat, Foodpanda, Tasty Khana, Deliver, Tiny Owl. None of them exist today. Mm-hmm. So this market saw such a big churn. But again, Harsha, what was playing, going through your mind? Because you already have these five players and then you're going to again pitch another food startup. What would be the differentiator? That's the first thing that investors would ask you. What's your TAM? There are already five players. What's your moat? How are you sort of going to answer those questions?
I think we just felt the differentiation in our bones. As consumers, as power consumers, then we were like, this is very different from everything else in the market. So we just had that confidence saying, this is different. Whether this will make the market larger or whether this will be profitable, what are the unit economics, all of those were going to be discovered. So our conviction there was lesser. Our conviction on the fact that this is a whole new thing that is different from everything else out there was very, very clear to us.
And for you, what do you think was the core problem which you wanted to capture in your deck?
As we even talk about it here, right? One of the key things, even as we did our own research, if you see, we start immediately with the current issues with food ordering. There were a bunch of players at the time, but think the basics were that the real restaurants that we all wanted weren't available on these platforms. That was the one big problem, either because these platforms didn't build their own delivery fleet. They just said, we're a tech platform, we connect restaurants with consumers. But that's not what consumers asked for. A tech platform connecting restaurants and consumers. Consumers asked for my favorite restaurants delivered fast. So there was a big difference. So we just solved for that.
So in fact, Harsha, two slides in the deck, you know, clearly mentions Domino's. One talks about how Domino's remains the only frictionless ordering choice and about how it works, your own plan. It talks about building a Domino's layer over every restaurant.
That's right. So I think that was a very clear inspiration for us. Well, part of the reason why we got into on-demand delivery itself was on-demand mobility, which was exploding at the time. Uber, Ola, etc. They were really starting to like grow in a big way. And we were in the bundle or the e-com aggregation logistics ourselves. And the first aha moment was, okay, if you can push a button and make cars move on the road super fast, you must be able to, you know, push a button and make things move super fast on the road. That was the original genesis of going into on-demand delivery itself.
And, you know, it's interesting because everything today is different, right? From the logo to the design. I mean, then it was this red scroll, white scroll in red.
That's
Swiggy,
right.
And now it's orange and white. But how did you come up with the name Swiggy?
Actually, we had an Excel sheet where we thought, okay, should we do something with instant delivery, food, this thing? Eventually, we didn't like any of those.
And there was already a Deliver.
There was a Deliver, there was a delivery. We didn't worry about it that much. Actually, at some point, we also said, we don't even know if we're going to be only about delivery. So why don't we just do a short, catchy name? And over some beers, we just said, let there be Swiggy. Not that much logic after a point.
And in terms of, you know, you spoke about the friction then that you wanted to address. And I think that's what the first, one of the first slide addresses, right? I mean, after talking about the team and your whole IIM Calcutta and IIT and BITS Pilani,
right.
The academic creds, you come, you
it's
straight
all we
away.
Had.
You straight away came to the current issues with food ordering.
Yeah.
The main thing that was missing was the logistics piece, which you wanted to own.
That's right. I mean, so we did come at it that way because of the background in bundle, etc. We want to do something in logistics and then found like an interesting consumer opening through logistics. We didn't start by saying food ordering is broken.
And how many of your assumptions were right? How many were wrong? What did you get right? Because there's also this interesting slide on unit economics, you know, current 50, which was in 2015, and earnings for delivery 85 at scale. You said it'll be 40 and 100. So how have those assumptions played out?
I'll talk about the number of things we got right. In the first few slides, as we talk about a business model, commission of 15% on every order paid by the restaurant will go up to 20%. Still hasn't gone up to 20%, but it's close, very close. So that is one part. The other one is the delivery charge, which is also similar to what it actually is today. So that I think we got right. Then if we go into, let's say, the
unit
economics.
How did you make those assumptions? 15%, 20%,
40%? To be honest, Chandra, this is 11 years back. So it doesn't keep in mind all of these inflationary changes that have happened. And when we pitched, we must have pitched it for 3 years later. Who would have thought that this would be like a multi-million order per day business? I think when we pitched, we had to do the sheet over multiple times because the investors believed in the numbers more than we did. I think Anand, Sumer, all of them said, boss, like, I think you're just underballing. Why don't you just put one zero extra types? And I was like, okay, that seems wild, but okay, who knows? Maybe it's true. Yeah. So we got a bunch of these right. Even if you look at the cost, the unit economics, the cost per delivery, what has changed is we didn't know that when we started, we were delivering only within like a 3-4 kilometer radius. And there used to be fun anecdotes around consumers changing the pin, like a little bit to be able to get restaurants that were otherwise not available, etc. That used to be like a hack. So since then, it's changed dramatically. Today, we deliver up to like 18 kilometers in a bunch of the big cities. So that has changed. But if it were actually at the same last miles that we were delivering at, we would be absolutely at the cost per delivery, despite like the inflationary movements that have happened 7-8 years more than what we would have expected. So it got a lot more efficient than we thought it would be.
The other slide that I thought was really interesting was the leveraging technology slide, where you spoke about, you know, ordering channels, it will go to mobile app, payments. Interestingly, you know, this wasn't even the time when UPI was present, which is why it's not there. And you also had 15-minute deliveries there.
Yeah, I did not remember this.
Which you launched just last year with Bolt, right? I mean, that also played out.
10 years too late. We did not think it was. At that time, we thought it would be possible. We were doing like hundreds of things. If you go back even in 2015, there are articles with Nandan talking about 15-minute delivery with cloud kitchen brands that don't exist today. So it's quite funny. We used to think about 15-minute deliveries at the time. Even the Swiggy idea itself, I learned later that I had this as a college project and forgot about it.
Wow.
And then came back to Swiggy again. So it's kind of similar sometimes.
This was at Bits Pilani. I mean, you thought about the idea and...
Thought about it 5-6 years before. 5 years before. Thought about it, forgot about it, then did the same thing all over again.
Went on to do on another startup and then came back.
Yeah. So it's weird sometimes how things connect back. So even this is something like that. I think the one slide on this though, I must say, Anand wasn't very happy about was mobile wasn't the most important part of this deck. Like web, mobile app, and even phone in brackets. Was at a time when others were, bunch of other platforms were taking orders on call. So we had the ordering channels in the future as people calling and placing an order. That part didn't play out, thankfully.
But you never had a call to order.
We never did. That's why it was a part of the future that never came.
What gave you conviction, Harsha, to just go all in on app?
When you say all in, it was where the consumers were. Part of it is actually our business would not exist today if it weren't for the app. At least on the rider, driver side, the delivery partner side, if they didn't have an app, I think our business wouldn't exist. So by our time, it was a lot more obvious that this was the way forward, and we didn't have that much of a large business to have any innovator's dilemma around like, okay, our desktop business, will this thing? We were just like a few months old when mobile took off. It was obvious.
And, you know, there's a slide that talks about traction, revenue growing 20% week on week, the number of orders growing 20% week on week. So from the time you started up to when you first started pitching to investors, did you have a number in mind that, you know, when my revenue hits this milestone or when my order hits this milestone, that's when I will raise my first round of funding. I might need money then.
Honestly, no. We didn't have any such number milestones. Neither did we get any feedback that come back at this orders or this thing.
So when did you decide to start putting a deck together and start raising? Within months of starting up?
No, we made a deck only when we had a meeting. We tried for meetings early on, but we didn't get a bunch of them. So for our first meeting, we took a couple of days out and said, now let's make something. Yeah, otherwise, we kept knocking on a few doors. Some of them we'd met in the bundle time. Sometimes things move super fast. They weren't moving at all for a while, and then they moved super fast.
Usage pattern, how has this moved? Average order size, 320, monthly spend, 1,400, conversion rate, 29%.
Order size has moved only 30% in 10 years. So, sorry, let's look at that. It was at that time when we had like a pretty hefty delivery fee. But actually, a whole lot of it is again true. Like if on an average, what has played out is at this time, it was still a very early user base that was repeating. If you look at it, close to 4 times a month.
Yeah.
Our repeats are to this day, close to 4 times a month after 100 million users have tried out the service. So what played out is that we thought, and these are early adopters, right? So they will be more of your core users. What's happened is that the core users operated at an even higher frequency. Than we would have budgeted for, and there were a lot many more low frequency users, but it all netted out to 4 roughly all over again.
you know, if founders today have to make a deck, A, should they make a deck? Is it still relevant? I was talking to one investor yesterday who said, you know, now some founders just send us like a one-page memo where they have questions and answers and pretty much answer everything. So how useful is a deck? Does it help you think through the business, think through what investors might ask you? What would you say to a founder who's maybe planning to make a deck or trying to put one together?
Honestly, the deck is just one form factor to be able to serve the same job to be done. What is the job to be done for anyone who doesn't know about your business? Being able to explain why it's an exciting business to do. So there must be many other ways to do it. The deck is one way. You can do a Q&A format. I'm sure you can put up a notion. In the new world, maybe you can even like answer the questions or maybe have like an AI agent generate a bunch of these, and it'll be like 5-10 minutes of engaging this thing. Yesterday, I saw something interesting where, very basic, but Google lets you take a doc and basically convert into almost like a podcast.
Notebook.
Yeah, it's LM, just a report, right? That you submit that becomes a podcast in half a minute to just make it engaging. So I'm sure with the tools available today, there are 10,000 more ways to make it more engaging, to use the same function, but to make it 100x more engaging. So, yeah, I mean, the deck is one way.
What would you tell founders? What should they put? What should they not put in a deck? And how long should it be?
I would say the shorter, the better for the first set of investors you're meeting. If you're in a very specialized category and you're only going to specialized investors, then you can go deeper. But if you're sending the deck around to a bunch of places and you want someone's attention, then I think the shorter, the better.
So because, 10 to 12.
Yeah, slides. Because for you, it's your only company. For them, it's probably 1 of 1,000 decks that they get in a year. So to whittle it down to the basics and still be able to get investors excited is important. So to be short and exciting is what I would choose any day. And if it is someone who's seen it and then wants to meet you, then you probably can keep adding progressively to add richer context.
As an angel investor, are decks important for you when you make an investment, or is it based on relationship, Swiggy Mafia, ex-Swiggy?
Maybe 30-40% of my investments are Swiggy Mafia. For the rest, actually, it is just the deck. A lot of it. Just the deck and... I mean, I don't get that many. I don't actively do it. But the deck is an important filter. The clarity of thought is important.
Again, order of the slides. Did you guys have a lot of discussion? First, let's put the team. Then let's put the problem.
Maybe we will put the team. Yeah, I don't have a strong preference over here. Because if we were better suited in any way to do this business than others, then it's an interesting thing to like do it in the end. But I don't think we were any more prepared for this business than any other set of folks who were building it at the time. So we didn't have any street cred per se. Now, actually, a lot of it I wouldn't change. It is simple, basic, current issues with food ordering, how it works, how are we doing it, what is the unit economics, differentiators, what next. So, yeah, very little I would change.
Great. So, you heard out from Harsha on his perspective, what was going through his mind, his co-founders' minds as they put this deck together. But on the other side of the show, we will bring in one of their very first investors, Anand Daniel, partner at Accel, who decided to back Swiggy back then in 2015 in their very first seed round where they raised $2.5 million. We will be in conversation with Anand Daniel of Accel. Anand, welcome to the show. You know, Harsha is one of Harsha's very first investors, Swiggy's very first investors. Today, all of us take, food delivery for granted, grocery delivery for granted. You go on the app, you expect something to come to you in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But this wasn't the case in 2015, right? I mean, so for you to back a a startup promising food delivery in, I think, 45 minutes, 30 minutes. How did you sort of get convinced? What convinced you about the deck, about Harsha, and also the unit economics? Because there was a lot of skepticism. Will this work? You know, how will the costs happen? Or, you know, does it have to scale to a certain point, get some operating leverage before they start making money? How did you think about it? And, you know, just talk us through that.
Thank you. How did you finally write
that check for Swiggy in 2015?
Thank you. Thanks, Chandra, for having. So I think today we take all this for granted. At that time, it wasn't very obvious. I was coming off a journey with Taxi for Sure, where I was closely involved from seed stage all the way through to exit. It was on on-demand to Ola, right? On-demand mobility. And we are doing a deep dive on food. So we had met every company listed here and more. This is the platform. There were also cloud kitchen models even then, right? Yeah. So we'd met all the food related, probably 15 plus companies. We were doing what we call a prepared mind, a thesis around food, right? So at that time, it wasn't obvious that the unit economics will work. So let's compare cabs to this. In cabs, if the platform makes 20%, all that goes to the platform. Whereas here, if you mentioned 15% as the platform fee, but you have to pay the delivery person after that. So how do you make that work wasn't very obvious. That all of us eat multiple times, we'll order out, is all clear. The pain point was screamingly clear. Because if in those days you ordered from any of the platforms that are listed here outside of Swiggy, you could wait anywhere from 45 minutes to 3 hours and might get the food, might not get. The experience was horrible. So the need for the platform was there. Right. And it could become sizable, was reasonably clear, market size and all, which wasn't even mentioned here. But we did some work as VCs. We were convinced that was there. And the unique way of solving it, the dominoes for India was very, very clear. So I think those were the things that worked. But there were a lot of questions and doubts. Will this scale? It'll scale, but will it scale in a unit economics viable way was a big question. But just going through this journey, we had met them once, like early in their fundraise journey. Then we had met everyone else and then came back, met them and decided to invest. And sometimes this is it's good fortune that we are able to partner with Harsha and team from very early days. Right.
You know, this was also the time, as you said, you built a thesis around food and you were looking for startups in that category.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there were five other food delivery startups, so-called Just Eat, Food Panda, Tasty Khana, Deliver, Tiny Owl. And there were a couple of logistics players as well. So why Swiggy?
Yeah, see, I think the the clarity of thought, saying that, like, luckily they were in Koramangala at that time, you could order also. If the clarity of thought of Harsha, Nandi, Rahul at that time is to say, we'll pick only very few restaurants. We want to make it the fastest experience. You come in, order quickly. So we'll pick the best restaurant in Koramangala, for example, at that time. And then we'll also show the top dishes there. Not every dish sells fast. So they had gone and somehow figured out. Right? Like, it's not data science and all. So somehow we should ask them how they figured it out. So these are the five best dishes. They took photographs. I don't know if photographs were there, even original website also.
We only had photographs.
Photographs, right? So nothing else. So it was a fresh new approach, saying you come here, you find, they launched with Junior Kupana, supposedly one of my favorites at that time. Right? So the best dishes there, you go order and we'll deliver in 30, like they promised 45 minutes or whatever, but it came around 30 minutes. They were maniacally focused about that. I think that kind of customer clarity, and when we pushed them to say, why don't you add more restaurants? Why don't you do this? They were very clear, no, we want to make it fastest. Why don't you add reviews? That used to be a longest thing. Say, no, the customer already knows what they want, right? Most of the time. So I don't want to waste their time with all this. This is not for discovery, but for quick. So there were some design choices made, right or wrong, the clarity of thought was there. And they were data-driven to keep adjusting that. So that all data-driven portion and all, I realized much later, but the clarity of thought and the passion with which they wanted to solve the consumer problem, consumer back and saying, I'll figure out the unit economics, right? But we have to solve this was what made us write the seed check. Yeah.
So again, Harsha, clarity of thought, the data-driven approach, where did that come from? Was it from your previous startup experience? Is that how you've always been as a person?
I don't know. I think that clarity of thought, I can't explain if it was always this way. We were like, if it is not different, then why should we be doing it? It was a very clear thing for us. Because we weren't building it because someone will fund this or this thing. We were like, okay, if there is a problem, then you need to solve it. And yeah, I think in general, we've had strong opinions weekly held.
And again, Anand, anything about the deck that really worked for you? You mentioned clarity of thought, and
yeah,
did that come through in the deck as well? What's the problem you are trying to solve? Yeah. How will we go about it? Who are our competitors?
Yeah.
You know, this is how we will make money.
Yeah, I think deck, to the earlier discussion, is a tool, right? It could be a deck, it could be a Notion page.
It's one form factor. Right,
form factor. The key is, what are the main things you're trying to put it out there, right? So, and keeping it very short, right? So that if you look, this is 12 odd pages, right? In that, they've conveyed everything that needs to be conveyed about the business. And most of this still holds true today in the format after 10, 12 years, right? So I think that speaks for itself. So whether it's a deck or a Word doc or a Notion page or whatever you want, like, have you answered the key questions? Have you conveyed the most amount of information in the least amount of time? That is very important, because any investor gets pitched so many ideas. So can you get their interest to take that first meeting, and in that first meeting, the shortest time, make them want to spend more time with you? I've shared this even last season, the pitch card. I think that's the key, and that this deck did it perfectly.
And what data points were you looking for? Because, you know, they have included numbers on the revenue growth, number of orders growing week on week, also the retention metrics, right? The usage patterns, the conversion rate, the repeat usage patterns.
Yeah.
Which of these data points was very important to you as an investor?
Yeah, looking in at hindsight, this deck? I was moved by like the week on week growth, retention, repeat, and all that. I'm saying in hindsight, because at that time I definitely was. But I would say today that these are all early numbers. Right? I've seen startups have this early on and then not hold later on. Right? So I think it was great that they had all this. Like 20%
unit economics on
terms of the growth and 20% week on week, and the retention and that they had. Repeats is not here. It was probably 3.4, close to 4 at that time. All those things were really good, but very small numbers is my whole point. So it's tough to go by, like, as an investor.
They invested when we were doing 70 orders a day.
Yeah, right. So, right. So it's tough to say, because I've invested post that, right, in companies that have done more number of orders and shown good thing, and which might not work out. So we can't go too much by this. It's more, it's a gut call also, right? So is this a problem that will remain? And is this a solution that can sustain, right? Those are the questions. The tough part here is what has made them sustainable, which is to crack this unit economics and everything. And there were not too many believers that logistics-led food delivery could work.
What were your questions when you met Harsha and Nandan and Rahul? Or was it only Harsha?
All three.
Right? All three.
All three. Hmm. I think it was mostly this, and I tried pushing them on some of the things which Harsha nicely said no to. And then
mobile.
Thing, mobile and all that. Right?
He wanted you all to go mobile, or he wanted you all to have multiple options?
No, I think he was already seeing enough trends that this was the only way to go.
So he wanted to push you towards
He was
mobile.
Expecting a lot more mobile strategy. At that time, having an app and having the app that comes out first was like, it was just those few months.
Right.
When it felt like app is going to change everything. App just was another channel. You needed to be there. It was at that time where it was like, this is going to be like the internet, almost. It wasn't as big as the internet.
Yeah.
It was big.
It's like today, no one's talking about AI. If a startup pitches, right, in tech, it's a, like, so it's happening, right? So it was like that in mobile. So was that, are you motivated to do that? Because they had put phone number also within parentheses, you know. You didn't want to go back in time and make it phone order, but you want to go forward in time and make mobile orders. Or why don't you do more review? Like, it was not any game changer, but to test the conviction and see that they are, like, convinced about what they're doing, it was very exciting.
Harsha, you know, how did you go about building feature by feature? I think Swiggy was one of the first to have live tracking within months. And then to keep adding features on top of that, that, you know, customers will find exciting, their orders getting accepted, it will be delivered in this much time. They will exactly, you know where the delivery partner is, how he's traveling, when they will get it. was it on the go? Was it intuitive?
A lot of it.
Do you spend a lot of time just looking at the app to figure out what can be better?
Yeah, but I think it was in the beginning, it is easy because we were like power consumers and there were only power consumers. As you go into more cities, this thing, it becomes challenging. You're shooting from the hip, acting like a consumer doesn't work. But in the beginning, it was fairly obvious what needed to be built, right? I think, as I was mentioning to you in the beginning, there was neither a consumer app nor did our delivery partners have apps. They only had feature phones. So we made use of the tech that existed at the time. So to let consumers know what their order status was, we gave four phone numbers to the delivery partners to give missed calls on. Each of the phone number, if they gave a missed call, that was a status change, whether it was a confirmation, whether they reached the restaurant, they picked up, etc., which were, mind you, significant advancements in the experience at the time. And as, let's say, the app came out like in 7-8 months of our launch, etc., then I guess by now we had already gotten accustomed to mobility, where you could, on your Ola or Uber, you could see the car come to you. So that was starting to become table stakes. We were like, if the tech exists, why wouldn't you show it and calm nerves even more? All of this time, the version of what we were doing didn't exist globally that much. Even if they did, like, it was too early to start taking inspiration from someone else, because most of the companies globally were doing pure marketplace first, which meant that they were just passing orders on to restaurants. That experience was not directly transferable. Even today, sometimes you see drivers are busy, so we can't deliver to you, etc. These flows didn't exist in food delivery in 2015. But we started with, like, to this day, we call it banner factor or something like that, basically. But because on day one, our thought was, if there are only two delivery partners and we get three orders, how will we do it? So we had a feature saying, if you're getting two orders live and two delivery partners are engaged, a yellow banner used to show up on the website saying we can't take orders right now because... but nobody told us like it would be like this. There was no frame of reference. Some of these were just intuitive thinking on what we wanted as consumers.
Just to be clear, it's all consumer back thinking. It's easy to say I'll take the order and then figure it out.
Yeah.
But they said no. Let's be transparent with the consumer and say we don't have that. Like, we can't take your order now. Or even that, using phone to let consumers know before a mobile app that your order has been picked up. All these were customer wow moments. So they were always continuously thinking about the how do you make the consumer happy. I think the customer obsession still continues on. Harsha, if there's one thing, and team, right? One thing that they focus on is how do we continue to delight with all the new offerings and everything. I think that's key. And I would say the other thing is, I've talked about it, the leadership team, not just Harsha and everyone else, are still the same, like, humble people that I feel we found a decade ago, like our Nandi and everyone, are people who are very relatable and thinking from with a firm feet on the ground on what needs to be done for the business and solving that. So that is the passion with which they do that even today. I think is great to see. Obviously, companies scaled and all that. The product lines have expanded multiple. The obvious things have happened, but these are some of the level 5 leadership that we talk about. I think that's the key that has got them here and hopefully takes them much further.
Right. And how do you think you've changed as an entrepreneur from running a startup funded by Axel and others to running this publicly listed firm that has such a wide range of stakeholders, right? You have retail shareholders and institutional funds and analysts you have to answer to every quarter. How have you changed or adapted to that new normal?
Luckily, it's been a gradual one. We didn't go from like private to public in 2-3 years. Over time, like, the shareholder base was, I think, 50 plus even before, let's say, we went public. So there was a gradual process of growing up and constantly like keeping pace with the growth of the category or the company, etc. So I would feel like it's a logical extension of the overall journey. I think we're very excited about having, you know, made the next milestone of being a public company. I think it makes you, I don't know, I mean, like, in the first 2 years, you feel like you don't have a lot to lose as an entrepreneur. Like, you're just fighting death as a startup, 99% of startups die anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't think like your odds are that high anyway. So you can be a little bit more cavalier saying, anyways, main job is to die. Let's see if we can avoid that. After that, it changes. And then suddenly you, at some point, you become big enough saying, okay, now this can't die.
It's taken a life of its own.
Correct. But even that happened earlier. Of course, like, you know, we are as responsible towards this like very large base of shareholders as we were even before. It's a different one because not all of these shareholders know the company as intimately as, let's say, maybe investors would. So it's a new thing for us. For us, that job is to just communicate and explain our strategy and business as best as we can. It's just a new phase. But if you like zoom out, going public in the end is like adding another ride in the amusement park of building a company. It is a difference, but as a company, as an entrepreneur, you're going through change every few weeks. This is another change that way. It's a huge responsibility, but probably before going public, you make it to be like an ultra different thing like you've never seen before. But I think in the 10 years, we've seen a pandemic, we've seen so much competition, we've seen near-death experiences, we've seen things that we didn't think we would see. So it's all just adding up to that experience of building startup.
Right. And in 2015, when you got that first check, did you think 10 years later, the end state will be IPO? What was going through your mind?
Investors
like
are dreamers.
Very long term.
No, see, I think when I initially underwrote, like, so our, to his point, he would have thought 10,000 orders per day. I would have said maybe let's shoot for 100,000 orders per day.
Now it's what, a million? Right? 2 million?
Much more than a million, right? So I think that, Girish, you had on the show, I said, so founders sometimes can dream in installments. He talked about that. I think that's it. So we thought, I had thought through 100,000 at that time in investing. And obviously some of these things, we tend to underestimate the long term. And and in this case, luckily, the long-term food itself has grown much larger. Like I was looking at our original investment memo. We said the market could be $700 million or something like that. We were precise about it. But many a time, there's a like bare minimum. If that exists and the consumer appetite only keeps growing, these can be much larger in the consumer platform side. And obviously, Harsha and team have innovated across that and now quick commerce and everything. So yeah, it's been a dream run.
Harsha, 5 years down the line, what will Swiggy look like?
See, I think the company's mission statement is all around delivering joy to consumers through convenience. And I think that's what we're going to be doing 5 years later as well. I think we have so many exciting changes happening in all the businesses that we're in. And now, so many trends changing in the world.
Food delivery itself, you have so many sub-segments, right? Yeah, I mean, you have 15-minute delivery with Bolt.
What folks may call mature business. Is also seeing like interesting trends overall this year with like quick food and what new changes. So
quick food, will that be a big game changer going forward?
It's early
you
days.
Just launched snack.
Correct. It's early days, but we feel that this is going to create consumption that will grow the food delivery market. So it's important.
Will quick food sort of be the trigger for, you know, food delivery to come back? Because there is a sense that it's, you know, slowed down all around. So will that sort of be the shot in the arm that the sector perhaps needs? Because it's sort of plateaued and...
You know what? I think overall food delivery is fine. I think it's very, very early days for the category in India still. And I don't think, like you, when you think about any category, the underlying rails are themselves going to grow at a good clip if you play it out over a 10-15 year time frame, because I think the restaurant industry will grow. If you believe the India GDP per capita story, then restaurants are going to grow faster than any other underlying rails. And our job is to grow faster than that business. There may be one quarter here, a couple of quarters there at a category level, but honestly, in the medium long term, I think it's a brilliant category.
It's not a saturated category.
I think far from it. If you look at the US, the restaurant industry was larger than the grocery industry about 10 years back. Here, it's like 30x the restaurant industry today, the grocery industry. And every country that goes through its GDP per capita story sees an expansion of this whole lifestyle. So, yeah, I think it's fine.
Thank you so much, Harsha and Anand. And with that, it's a wrap on this episode where we featured the Swiggy pitch deck. You heard out Harsha and Anand deconstructing that view. But you can also download the entire deck, go through every slide on seedtoscale.com. Check it out.